On the first day of the week, we hear the early church crying out, "He's alive. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. The grave is empty. He's not there. He's alive. There's good news for all. Christ is alive. Yes, he died on Good Friday. He died on the cross. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. Death could not hold him. He is risen. He is risen indeed." If there's one thing you want to take away from this passage that we've read or from this sermon is this, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is good news, it's true news, and it's real news. Got that? One simple thought. If you have a memory to hang on to that, then you got the message of Christ's resurrection. It is good news, it is true news, and it is real news. It is true news. From our passage here in Matthew 28, we have an account of Jesus' resurrection. And we also looked at Luke. Pastor Ben read that passage. All four of the Gospels speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news of his resurrection means that all of our sins that he died for have been forgiven. The good news is that we could not make ourselves right with God. He's holy, we're sinful. We could not have a right relationship with God. But Jesus took our place on the cross, suffered our punishment for us by sacrificing his life as a substitute for us. And how do we know that God accepted his sacrifice for us? He raised him from the dead. That's the good news of Christ's resurrection, that our sins have been paid for by his death. Christ has satisfied the justice of God, his Father, and he has appeased his anger towards sinners. So we who believe in Christ need not fear judgment, need not fear condemnation, need not fear any type of punishment from God, because we have been reconciled to God through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. That is the good news of this day. Do you believe that? You may never have heard that before. Oh, yeah, you've heard of Easter and you come to church and whatnot, but you didn't grasp. And I know, because I was one for 20-some years. I was an altar boy. And yet I never knew about the gospel being good news for me until I was 23 years old. Very religious, but I never knew the good news. So today may be the first day you have heard why Christ's resurrection is the good news. Now, if God is stirring your heart and you're saying, "Wow, that's really neat. All our sins can be forgiven, that Christ died for me. Okay, I want that. I want this good news. I want to own it. What do I have to do?" Well, you have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray to him. "Dear Lord, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you. I don't deserve your gift of salvation and eternal life. I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness for all my sins. So, Lord, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me so that my sins would be forgiven. I believe that, Lord. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me that I may live with Christ as my ruler. In Christ's name I pray." It's a simple prayer of faith, acknowledging your sin, acknowledging Christ as the Son of God who died for your sins, but who has also been raised so that you're forgiven. If you believe that, this is good news for you right now, right here. You don't have to wait until some other time. You pray a prayer like that. Open your heart to the Lord. Christ's resurrection is not only good news, but it's true news. It's not fake news. The church proclaims the resurrection of Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He is risen from the dead. And the world cries out, no, he hasn't. He's not alive. He's dead. He was some guy that lived 2,000 years ago. He was a martyr. He died. He was buried. And that's it. That's the end of the story. It's over. Nothing to cheer about. Relax. He has not risen from the dead. Use your brain that God gave you and think about it. How irrational, how illogical is it to believe that somebody died on the cross and then 3 days later rose again? Doesn't happen. Fake news. He's not alive. Fake news is the rage of our country today. The mainstream media is in a tizzy about fake news. Fake news is a type of hoax or a deliberate spread of misinformation, false information through traditional print media, through television, through the internet, social media, things such as Facebook, Twitter, email. Fake news stories are concocted and then they're disseminated or spread through these means. To qualify as fake news, a story has to be written and published with the intent to mislead in order to gain financially or politically. Fake news. In Matthew 27, beginning in verse 62, we want to see how the powers to be, the religious officials and the government officials, prior to Christ's crucifixion, took steps to create a false narrative. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that imposter said, while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead.'" And the last fraud. Fake news always has these exaggerated words to it to not so much convince your mind, but to stir up your emotions. People get all riled up from fake news. They don't check the facts, but it has to be true. It's on the internet. It has to be. So people get all crazy and they're protesting and fist fights and more lying and everything. Well, you see that happening right here, don't you? This imposter, Jesus. The last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Matthew then proceeds in chapter 28, the first 10 verses, which we read, and I'm not going to go through them again. Time won't allow it. But Matthew presents the good news of Christ's resurrection. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ rose on the third day. The tomb was empty. People witnessed the empty tomb. People witnessed the resurrected Lord. It's true. But look in Matthew 28:11. The false narrative being concocted and disseminated. And while they were going, Behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, here's the fake news. Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, don't sweat it. That's a paraphrase. We will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. We got your back. Just get this message out. Because if people start believing that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead like he said he was going to, what's that going to do to my position politically? What's that going to do to my influence? How are people going to look at me? I could lose my job over this. We could have a revolt and turn over all of this stuff that we have been hanging on to if this Jesus really came back. So we can't allow that message to get out. You've got to get the other message out. Here, we'll pay you for it. He did not rise up from the dead. Well, where's the body? Well, that's easy. His disciples stole it. See, these fanatics were so misled by this fraud Messiah that they wanted to preserve this message that he kept preaching about salvation and the kingdom of God and that he was the King of Kings. We don't want that word out there. That can't be said. We have to squash that news. So they were effective. The big story in Action News at noon that Sunday was that some of these radical followers who just couldn't accept the fact that their Messiah was crucified and buried and he was no longer on the scene again, they produced this story that he rose from the dead, which really happened. What really happened here, folks, is that they broke into his tomb at night. The Roman guards were asleep. So they got in there, rolled back this big stone, carried his body out, left some of his garments there. He stole the body to make it look like Christ rose from the dead. And this story has spread among Jews to this day. This is the big story on Action News. More to follow at 11 tonight. This is all fraud. And you have people gathering and all this kind of... Don't believe it. Why did Pilate and the Jewish officials and Roman soldiers create and promote such a fake news story? Who was behind this false narrative? Christ's body was stolen. Why would they lie about this? Well, I've already alluded to it, to protect their own interests, their own positions, and so forth. But you got to go deeper than that. Those are the external, the superficial things. The fact of the matter is the reason why Christ's resurrection was spun as fake news was because Satan and his followers hate God. They hate Jesus, his son, and they hate everybody that follows Christ. That's what's at the bottom of this fake news about the resurrection. Fake news. As a result of, we hate Christ. We hate everything about him. And you say, well, that's pretty strong language. Go back to the cross on Good Friday. What happened? Who was beat up? Who was crucified? By whom? Because they love God. Because they believe in God, they hate him, and they hated his son. His whole trial was a sham. Why? They were out to get him. The world does not want God messing with their lives. I want the freedom to do whatever I want to do. And I don't want anybody telling me, especially I don't want this God telling me that this is wrong and that's wrong and that I'm going to be punished for living that way. No way. I don't want anybody telling me how to live. They hated God, His Son, and His followers. I mean, why did King Herod, 33 years earlier, slaughter all the baby boys at Christ's birth? Because he loved God. Why did Satan tempt Jesus to sin in the wilderness? Because he wanted to give him the whole world? No. Why was Christ despised and rejected? Why was he accused of having a demon when he healed people? Why did they make fun of him while he was on the cross? Hey, you say it, you said you're going to save the world. You can't even save yourself. So you want me to believe in you? Come off it. I'm not going to believe in you. There's a spiritual battle, friends, between Satan and God. And this battle is raging right now. And it may be raging in where Christ is coming after you to save you, and you are fighting him. I don't want to hear this. And Satan may be distracting you. Satan may be messing with your mind where you start thinking of, gee, I wonder if we're going to have enough ham today. Why didn't I get more chocolate rabbits? Why didn't anybody comment on my new outfit? All these crazy things. And you say, where are those thoughts coming from? They're coming from the prince of darkness who does not want you to hear Christ and believe in him. There's a battle. There's the battle. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ good news or bad news? It's good news. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ true or is it fake news? What do you think? It is true. Absolutely true. How do you know that? Because God, who wrote the Bible, said so. In your bulletin is a pink insert that has a number of passages of Scripture on it. Scriptures that come from God and testify to the truth that Christ rose again. Tuck that away in your Bible, and the next time you get an opportunity to talk to people about Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and somebody who has bought into the fake news story says, I don't believe that. I think Easter is just something people put together in their own minds to give them an opportunity to have a good feast, maybe church service and whatnot. But I don't think Christ actually rose from the dead. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Well, why do you believe that? Here is the reason I believe this. These are the passages of Scripture that God has given to us to prove that His Son rose from the dead. Well, that's okay for you because you believe in the Bible, but I don't believe in the Bible, so that stuff doesn't mean anything to me. So what do you say to a person like that? It's very simple. Ask them what their source of truth is. CNN? PBS? Where do you get your truth from? I will take the Bible over anything and everything else. And I hope you will too, because this is God's Word. This is the truth. Every word in here is inspired by God, breathed out. That's the truth. That's the truth. There were eyewitnesses to this truth. It's included on your insert, but let me just read from 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and following. For I delivered to you, this is Paul writing, as of first importance that I also received, what I also received, that Christ died for your sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of them who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. Okay, the big story on Action News is that Christ's resurrection was fake. The story on Eyewitness News is there's a whole lot of people who saw the resurrected Lord. That's the true news. Now, I'm not pushing one station over another, believe me. Just an example, and we don't want the illustration to drown out the point. The point is that Christ's resurrection is true. God spoke about that. He revealed it. But people saw it. People witnessed Him. Now, the reason why you want to hang on to these passages of Scripture is to deal with the fake news about Christ's resurrection that you'll hear today. Fake news stories such as the swoon theory. This false narrative claims that Jesus enlisted the aid of men like Joseph of Arimathea and Lazarus of Bethany to help Him accomplish this elaborate hoax. Joseph arranged for an unidentified person to give Jesus a drink on the cross that would cause Him to lose consciousness and appear to be dead. However, no one involved in the scheme anticipated the spear wound, which gravely injured Jesus. He was removed from the tomb. He was laid in the tomb, unconscious, but still alive. He was removed from the tomb the next day, briefly regaining consciousness before dying and being reburied elsewhere. The swoon theory. Christ never really died, so He never really rose from the dead. And then we have the account of the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests, soldiers, Pilate, who are saying, the disciples stole His body. He didn't rise from the dead. His body was stolen. So you have the stolen body theory, you have the swoon theory, then you have the impersonation theory. What this theory claims is that the appearances of Jesus after His crucifixion weren't really Jesus, but someone impersonating Him. The opponents state that because a number of the people didn't recognize Jesus after the resurrection, it was because He was somebody else other than Jesus. Fake news. Another false narrative is the spiritual resurrection theory. This is the view that Christ's resurrection was not a real physical resurrection. Proponents of this theory assert that Christ's body remained in the grave and His real resurrection was a spiritual resurrection. The physical resurrection was only told to illustrate the truth of His spiritual resurrection. What they're saying is there is no bodily resurrection of Christ. And the last false narrative, there's others. It's the unknown tomb theory. This is great. One of the earliest false narratives created to explain the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ was that the disciples didn't know where the tomb was located that He was buried in. So they went to the wrong one. I mean, we laugh at this, but people are drumming these things up. You talk about fake news, that people would rather believe something like that than He rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was good news. It was true news. And lastly, it is real news. Now, I want to emphasize this. His resurrection is real. Now, you may be thinking, well, I believe that the resurrection of Christ is good news. And yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was true. But I'm having trouble believing that it was real. In other words, what difference does Christ's death and resurrection make in my life right now? Is it real? Yes, it is. It's very real. It's not just a story. It's real. His resurrection is real. And when you believe in that, that it's real, it makes all the difference in your life. I want to share my personal testimony today as proof that Christ's resurrection is real in the lives of believers. Way back in September 10th of 1974, at the age of 23, I came to realize that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. I was on a youth retreat up in Camp Meadowland in Quakertown. And it was on that Sunday that the good news and the true news of Christ dying for my sins became a reality, that I was saved from God's wrath, that I was born again by the Holy Spirit, and I became a Christian. That change was real. 3 years later, at the same place, God called me to be a pastor. Boy, I had real questions about whether that was real. That was not on my radar screen. I had other plans. But when God does something, you don't even bother fighting it because you're not going to win. And I'm glad I lost to Him. Now, fast forward to July 30th, 2015. I had to deal with the reality of a heart attack while I was on vacation in Ocean City. There was all kind of questions about what's going to happen. While I was at Penn Presbyterian Hospital, I read the scriptures, and God centered my attention on a verse that helped me see the reality of Christ's resurrection power. And that verse is Romans 9:17. For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Had a catheterization, 2 stents. Discharged the next day and spent the last week of vacation in Ocean City. Is Christ's resurrection power real? There's a fellow by the name of Bill Gaither who wrote a song entitled Because He Lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, my life is worth the living, just because He lives. Last September 10th, 42 years after the date of my conversion, Christ became very real to me. I had a second heart attack while I was doing chapel at Coatesville High School for the football team. I was taken to the hospital, diagnosed that I had a heart attack, and the heart attack had been caused by blood clots in both lungs. And they couldn't figure out why I had these blood clots in my lungs. And then the next day, I was told that I have cancer. Chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Lots of fears, lots of questions, lots of, gee, what's going to happen? You know, am I going to have to resign? Am I going to have to retire? What does this mean for my wife and my family? How is this going to change my life? Believe it or not, in a weak moment, I was wondering, what's going to happen to all my books? I really love my books. Maybe I need to put a list together, or Pastor Ben's going to just raid my office and take them all. I mean, things go through your mind. You start wondering, what's going to happen? You know, well, maybe I don't have cancer. My counts are high, but maybe more tests will show that I just have an infection in my ear or something, and I'm going to be all right. Well, that didn't work. It was confirmed. Okay, you have to go through chemotherapy. And then I thought, okay, the only chemotherapy I know about it is from Brian's song. Remember that old football movie? This guy was so sick all the time. I'm thinking, so this is the way I'm going to spend the rest of my life, with an upset stomach and too tired to do anything. What do you do? My oncologist gave me great, great advice. Stay off the internet. You don't need to do all the studying. Don't listen to everybody's anecdotal evidence of what they think you should be doing. And listen to me. I got 20-some years experience and many, many years of education. Okay. That was simple. Real questions, real fears. What about the future? 6 months of chemotherapy, am I going to have to take a leave of absence? Man, what's going to happen? Today I stand here alive for one reason, because Jesus is alive. I don't like to talk about my medical episodes because it's very easy to take the glory from God and put it on yourself. You know, when I'm in remission right now by God's grace, and I rang the bell at the cancer center and everybody's applauding and everything, and some guy said to me, "You beat cancer!" And that hit me like a ton of bricks. No, I didn't. I didn't know what was even happening to my body. It is Jesus who beat that disease. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, my life is worth living. Because He lives. Is Jesus Christ real? Is His resurrection real? Absolutely, or I wouldn't be here. While in a hospital, God gave me another verse that showed that He's not done working with me yet. And here's what He wants me to do. It's Psalm 71:18. O God, from my youth You have taught me, and I still proclaim Your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim Your might. To another generation, Your power to all those to come. Jesus Christ's resurrection is real. It's not just a story. It's not just something that we can use to inspire people. It is real. It is real. Touch my hand. Am I real? Jesus Christ is real. That's what I want to leave you with. Christ is real. Right, Gert? There's so many I could point to here. Christ's resurrection is real. And God has given me extra time to be able to come to this next generation and share the gospel. And let them know that there's hope in Christ. He's their good news. He's the true news. And He is real. No matter what you have to go through, He's going to be there with you. No matter how rough things get, He's not going to abandon you. No matter how many mistakes you make, how many sins you commit, there is forgiveness with Jesus Christ. And how do we know that? Because He lives. He paid for all of your sins at Calvary on Good Friday. You just need to believe in Him. Trust in Him. Give your life to Him. If He's stirring in your heart right now, pray to Him, Lord. Lord, be real to me right now. Lord, speak to my heart. Help my unbelief. Lord, this fellow's real. He's standing here testifying of your goodness and your power in his life. Lord, I want that. I want forgiveness from sin. I want the truth to set me free from the devil. And I want you to be real in my life so that I could walk with you and talk with you and live out the rest of my life bringing honor and glory to you. Lord, hear my prayer. Give me the faith to believe in Jesus Christ, for it's in His name I pray. Amen. Let's conclude our service with a choral benediction that is more than just a chorus. It's the Alleluia chorus. Please stand as the choir sends us off on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday with the good news that Christ is alive.